Good morning. And welcome this morning to Myerstown Church of Heaven. I'm Pastor Dennis. Good to have you with us this morning. Just a few announcements this morning. We're praying this week for the folks on page 39 in your church directory. The Mountville Church of the Brethren is praying for us, and the Lewiston, Maine, we are praying for the Mountville Church of the Brethren, and the Lewiston, Maine Church of the Brethren is praying for us. Tomorrow we're starting a new Bible study in the book of James. I will be getting, those of you who are involved, I will get a link out to you today or tomorrow morning. And but if anyone's interested in joining this study, let me know today so I can include you. We'll be meeting here at the church, or you can also join online. Lord of all creation. In June, sometime in June, be having a service of baptism and receiving new members here at the church. And if anyone is interested in baptism or church membership, if you'd let me know as soon as possible so that I can include you in some preparation for that time. It is good to be in the house of the Lord today, and we come to worship our God, our gracious God. Come into a time of worship, as an attitude of worship, as Barb leads us this morning.
If we could all rise for the call to worship, please. Jesus Christ, our great shepherd, has gone before us, preparing our way. He has given his life for us, his sheep.
We will follow him,
confident in his protection. Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, invites us to walk with him.
We accept his invitation,
confident in his guidance. Christ, our good shepherd, has placed abundance before us. We come with thankful hearts, confident in his love. Lord Jesus Christ, risen one, blessed Redeemer, our good shepherd, open our hearts and spirits this day to receive your word, to be willing to follow, to be challenged and confident in our service to you. Amen. And if we could remain standing for our first hymn, Praise Him, Praise Him. You may be seated, and now we'll have the choir video.
Why should I?
And if we could, the scripture, Psalm 23, in unison, please. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your presence, a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. All days of our life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And if we could, the hymn, Gentle Shepherd, Come and Lead Us.
Many of you are aware that Lindsay Diamond will be having some surgery for cancer coming up on the 7th of May, and has asked for a time of anointing this morning. For those of you that are not familiar with the Brethren Anointing Service, it's based out of words in James 5, which I'll read in a few moments. But traditionally, the Brethren have anointed with oil. And scripturally, anointing with oil has from Old Testament through New Testament, is part of Scripture. But we've anointed for three reasons, and that will be evident as I read from James. We were anoint for the forgiveness of sin, for the strengthening of one's faith, and for healing and wholeness for body, mind, and spirit. Oftentimes, we anoint prior to a surgery, such as this morning, when someone's going through a particularly stressful time in their life, variety of reasons that for the anointing service. My experience has been that the anointing service brings that calmness and assurance of God's presence and peace to the ones being anointed. So this morning, I invite you to hear these words from James 5, verses 13 through 16. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who's committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Would you pray with me? God of numberless blessings, we ask for a special blessing in these moments. Bless us with a keen awareness of your presence this morning. Be with us as we gather in the name and spirit of Christ, the great physician. Be with us to hear the thoughts expressed in words and the longings too deep for words. Be with us to calm our anxiety, to forgive sin, to ease pain. God of relentless love, you're always more willing to give than to receive. Open our hearts to receive your gifts of love. Amen. So invite the deacons and Lindsay to come forward.
Lindsay, just asking for the anointing services
is an expression of your faith and your trust in God. So I ask you right now, is there anything that you feel that you need to express that would prevent you from experiencing God's blessing during this time? Anything at all that you would like to share? Okay. God knows our hearts. God knows exactly what we're going through. God knows what you are experiencing right now. And God is on this journey with you. And because of your willingness to trust God now in all things, in this surgery that you'll be facing, I anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord for the forgiveness of your sin, for the strengthening of your faith, and for healing and wholeness according to God's grace and wisdom. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, our gentle and good shepherd, we lift Lindsay to you this morning as she faces a major surgery, and we place her life and her in your hands. We trust that you are with her on this journey. We trust that you will strengthen her and bring her that peace that she needs during this time. Be with her family as well. Give them the assurance that you are on this journey together with them. We pray boldly, Father, for healing, and we pray boldly that the cancer will be gone. And we just pray that a special blessing on her. And be with the doctors and the nurses, those who will tend to her in the hospital. Guide their hands and use them as part of your instruments in her life. God, we just pray again that you would forgive her sin, that you would give her that strength that will get her through this time, and that you will bring healing and wholeness and peace to her life. Bless her, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless Lindsay. Careful. I invite you to stand and join in singing the hymn, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. may be seated, and I invite the children to come up and share a time with me. We're going to watch a video in a minute, so I want you to be able to see the screen up there, okay? Good morning, everyone. Have a good week. Did you have a good week? Yeah, good. So how many of you have, do any of you have sheep at your house? Anybody have sheep? Neighbor down the street has sheep? Yeah. Any of you ever been on a farm with sheep? Yeah, some of you have. Okay. Kendall. You saw sheep there? No? Okay. Yeah. I have a good pastor friend. He's the pastor down at the Akron Church of the Brethren, Tim Fleener, and he has a farm where he raises sheep. And he's pretty knowledgeable about sheep. I don't know a whole lot about sheep. But I want you to watch a video this morning about sheep and see what you... Yeah. So he's a good shepherd. But Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Now, did Jesus lead sheep? No, I don't think he did. But he says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Who are Jesus' sheep?
Us.
Yeah, we're Jesus' sheep. And Jesus takes care of us, and he leads us, and he guides us. And he laid down his life for us when he died on the cross. So Jesus calls himself the good shepherd because he takes care of us. And we can trust him and we can follow him because we know that he will lead us only to good things. Yeah, Ella has a little stone there with a sheep on it. She showed me that when we were during Sunday school this morning. Yeah. Let's say a prayer together, okay? Jesus, we thank you for being the good shepherd. The one who leads us, the one we can count on, the one who leads us to quiet pastures, green pastures, those places where we will be safe, where we will be at peace, where we know that we will be taken care of. Just bless these children, I pray, as they learn to know you, the Good Shepherd. We pray in your name. Amen. Thanks for coming up this morning, everybody.
If we could bow our heads for a word of prayer. O Lord, our good shepherd, you are the source of all true and lasting joy. We praise you for your power, which is beyond compare. We worship you for your wisdom, which is beyond understanding. You can meet all of our needs. As we gather, may we remember those who are not with us today. For those who are sick, we ask for your healing, and for those away from us, we ask for your blessings to be on them. We pray for the leaders of the nation and all the world leaders and the many important and critical situations that they may face. We ask that you give them wisdom to do your will. We ask for your blessings on Mountainville Church of the Brethren this morning as they may hear and understand your word. We ask for your guidance and direction as you lead us as a church. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And this morning's scripture comes from John 10, verses 1 to 18. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hears his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep will follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. And now there's morning's message from Pastor Dennis.
Over the last two Sundays, we've considered some of the experiences of Jesus' disciples following his resurrection, specifically that of Thomas and those two followers who encountered Jesus on the road to Emmaus. We considered the thoughts and the questions that were swirling in their heads. What had just happened? Who was this Jesus? Alive, dead, and then alive again. How should they understand him? And what does this mean for their futures? How should they speak to others about him? You know, in the centuries since Jesus' appearance on earth, questions about Jesus continue to be asked. The number of movies, TV shows, books, and articles that appear, especially around Christmas and Easter, are evidence that people are still trying to figure out who is Jesus. And Jesus' followers today are still asking some of the same questions those early disciples asked. Well, the gospel writers each try to give us a picture and some understanding of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, and Luke give us a rather straightforward chronology of Jesus' life. While the Gospel of John, opening with that grand image of Jesus as the very Word of God made flesh and living among us, gives us numerous images and portraits of Jesus so that we might know and believe and understand who he is. Well, in his attempt to show us who Jesus is, John turned to the words and images Jesus had given about himself. John quotes seven of those I am statements, images and metaphors Jesus used to help connect the dots and help us understand who he is. I am the bread of life in John 6, and I am the light of the world in John 8. I'm the resurrection and the life in John 11. I'm the way, the truth, and the life in John 14. I am the true vine in John 15. And then in our text for today, I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I think that while John is seeking to help his readers understand who Jesus is, it's obvious in reading his gospel that many did not understand. Some asked Jesus to show them miraculous signs so that they could believe in him. And some asked Jesus directly, "Who are you?" In the verses following today's reading, verses 19 through 21, John speaks of that division, these questions surrounding Jesus. He writes, when he said these things about being the good shepherd, the people were again divided in their opinions about him. Some said, he's demon possessed and out of his mind. Why listen to that kind of man? Others said, well, this doesn't sound like a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Not much has changed in 2,000 years as people are still divided over who Jesus is. And that's understandable, I think, because in some of his statements about himself, Jesus made some very bold claims about his identity. For his Jewish listeners, those I am statements would have brought back and reminded them of God's reply to Moses when Moses asked God, what should he say if the people asked him what God's name is? And God replied, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And by calling himself the Good Shepherd, Jesus was identifying himself with God. We read this morning from Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Ezekiel 34, we read these words, for it is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. I myself will tend my sheep. I will shepherd the flock. In those Hebrew scriptures, God is identified as the Good Shepherd. As we read on in John 10, Jesus' claims about himself led people to pick up stones to kill him. He asked them, for which good work are you going to stone me? And they answered, we're stoning you not for any good work, but for blasphemy. You are a mere man claiming to be God. Which indeed Jesus was claiming. They heard, but they did not understand this good, but not so simple shepherd. So for the next several Sundays, we're going to be considering some of these images of Jesus in John's gospel as we seek to understand who Jesus is. Today, the good shepherd and the sheep. Jesus' metaphor of the shepherd and the sheep would have resonated with people in that part of the world 2,000 years ago. Now, personally, I've not had a lot of experience with sheep or with shepherds. I enjoy seeing them in the fields when I'm traveling. There's a farm along 322 that I pass occasionally that has sheep and lambs out in the field. And I mentioned to the children, Tim Fleener, when he came to Akron, actually brought a sheep with him one day for one of his sermon illustrations. So I've not had a lot of experience other than that with sheep and shepherds. But what I do understand about sheep is that they are among the simplest of livestock. They're not known for their intelligence. They're quite vulnerable to thieves and wolves, just as Jesus mentioned. They don't have many ways to defend themselves from predators and depend greatly on the protection of the shepherd. In the open pasture, they have a tendency to wander from the flock and the protection of the shepherd. On the other end of the spectrum, we human beings are God's most complex of creatures. We have the capacity to understand and process huge amounts of information. We can make complicated decisions. We go to some extreme lengths to defend ourselves, and we're not really that much like sheep. But Jesus says otherwise. He recognizes something about us that maybe we can't see in ourselves. He recognizes that we really do have some of the same tendencies as sheep. And perhaps we're more like them than we realize. Therefore, we also need a shepherd. I don't know a whole lot about shepherds and shepherding either, except what I've read and what Jesus talks about here in John 10. He said he's the gate for the sheep. We've read that the shepherds would gather the sheep into a sheepfold, and the shepherd would actually lie down and be the door to the gate to protect the sheep from wolves, thieves, and other dangers. A good shepherd would literally be willing to lay down his life for the sheep. The shepherd has a vested interest in the welfare of the sheep. He won't desert the flock when danger comes. Jesus also tells that shepherds know their sheep, and their sheep know them. They know this voice. The sheep know the shepherd's voice, and when they wander, they'll respond to that shepherd's voice. You saw in the video, I think, with the shepherd out front, and sometimes his arms were moving around. I'm sure he was talking to the sheep when he was doing that. I have to admit that there's something maybe just a little disheartening about being compared and described as sheep. We human beings are God's most complex creatures, yet Jesus says we're a lot like sheep. Like sheep, we have a tendency to go where the grass looks just a little bit greener, straying away from good pastures, getting lost and finding ourselves in danger. Like sheep, we face danger from those who prey on our vulnerabilities. Like sheep, we can sometimes find ourselves at the mercy of those hired hands, people who really don't care about us and are just looking out for themselves. It's our human nature to want to be in control of our lives, yet if we're going to be a follower of Jesus, we have to acknowledge our spiritual likeness to sheep and our need for a good shepherd. Because it's in following the shepherd that we too will be led to safety and to life. In the middle of all his talk about sheep, Jesus says this: I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Abundant life. That phrase, probably as much as any in the Bible, captures what I think most people are looking for, including, I would imagine, all of us. An abundant, full, and satisfying life. Not just longer life and happier life, but abundant life. And there are many today who promise abundant life. But for the most part, what they promise is an abundance of more. More money, more possessions, more cars, more sex, more social media friends, more, well, you can fill in the blank with all those things that are promised to give us a more satisfying life. So what is this kind of life, this abundant life Jesus the Good Shepherd says he wants for us? What's it look like? Well, for the sake of contrast, let's start with what abundant life is not. Have you ever had a miserable job? A couple years ago, I attended the Willow Creek Leadership Summit, and one of the speakers was author Patrick Lencioni. He wrote a book entitled The Three Signs of a Miserable Job. And he says he wrote the book in response to some figures he saw in a Gallup poll that said 77% of Americans hate their jobs. Now, this figure intrigued him because it reminded him of his childhood, watching his father trudge off to work every morning and then come home letting everybody know how miserable a day he'd had. Well, Lencioni says he came to the frightening realization that people spend so much time at work, yet so many of them are unfulfilled and frustrated in their jobs. Now, you would think that the measurements of job satisfaction would depend on things like salary, job responsibilities, or chances for advancement. But what Lencioni said he found was that being miserable has nothing to do with the actual work the job involves. He says a professional basketball player can be miserable in his job while the janitor cleaning the locker room behind him finds fulfillment in his work. Or a marketing executive can be miserable making $1 million a year while the waitress who serves her lunch derives meaning and satisfaction from her job. Lencioni discovered that what makes the difference between a miserable job and a satisfying one is all about relationships. Relationships that were formed on the job. And specifically, he says, it's those relationships between managers and employees that will determine whether a job is a dream or a nightmare. And he found three signs that point to job dissatisfaction. And these three signs, by the way, relate very well to what Jesus is telling us about abundant life and being the good shepherd here in John 10. First, Lencioni's three indicators of job misery. The first one's this: anonymity. He says people cannot be fulfilled in their work if they're not known. In other words, people need to sense that they're understood and appreciated for their contributions in the workplace. People need to know that someone cares about them and what they do. The second sign, he says, is irrelevance. In other words, not knowing if what you're doing matters to someone. A job must have purpose and an impact on other people, even if it's flipping burgers. People want to feel that what they do matters and that someone might miss them if they weren't there. And for the third indicator of job ministry, Lencioni invented a word, immeasurement, he called it. And he says, people are frustrated when they don't know how they measure up and how they can do better. People need feedback and achievable goals. And he goes on to say that effective leaders know their people well and care about them. They help them see how what they're doing matters, and they give them feedback and achievable goals that can motivate them. Unfortunately, if those statistics are correct, it seems this must not be happening for many people. And this work dissatisfaction spills over into other areas of people's lives, and it can result in health problems, addictions, and broken relationships. Jesus says, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus understands the needs of his flock. He understands our needs, and he offers a set of signs to mark a life that is ultimately abundant, fulfilled, and fulfilling. And the first sign he offers of an abundant life is being known. Being known. Abundant life has everything to do with our human relationships and our relationship with the shepherd. The good shepherd calls his own sheep by name, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. It's a basic human need to be known and valued, and Jesus has this one covered. We don't serve a disconnected God who sits on his divine throne dispensing orders. God knows us by name, values us, and cares for us. Jesus knows you. Jesus loves you just because you are you. Abundant life is being known first and foremost by God, but also by others. And therefore, the church needs to be a place of hospitality and of community, a place where everyone knows your name, or at least enough people know your name to satisfy your need to be known. The second sign of abundant life is relevance. The love and the care of the Good Shepherd has a purpose. As followers of the Good Shepherd, we're called to be people who can make a difference. Through Jesus Christ, we're not just saved from the dangers of life apart from God. We're also saved for sharing this grace and love and life of purpose in Christ with others. In his book, Patrick Lencioni says, no one gets out of bed in the morning to program software or assemble furniture or do whatever it is that accountants do. They get out of bed to live their lives, and their work tasks are merely a part of their lives. An abundant life sees a larger vision of life and our place in the world. The Apostle Paul once said that we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. No matter our job or our family or life situation in which we find ourselves, we find relevance when we see our connectedness to the purposes of God for our lives and for the whole world. And then the third, abundant life is a life lived with an outward focus. At the end of his book, Patrick Lencioni says, I've come to the realization that all managers can and really should view their work as a ministry, a service to others. I would suggest not just managers, but every one of us should see our work as a ministry. Jesus says, the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. What Jesus did, he did for others. Measuring the abundant life involves a different kind of math than the world uses. All the things that the world sees as marks of success don't really matter to Jesus. Jesus' kind of abundant life is always outwardly focused, always concerned with how much one gives rather than what one gets. So if you want a measuring stick for your life, look to Jesus. As followers of Jesus, we measure our lives by asking questions like, how well did I represent Jesus today? How did I reflect his presence in my life? Did I help move the kingdom of heaven a little closer to reality today? What is abundant life, a fulfilled and a fulfilling life? It's being known. Being known by Jesus who loves you just because you are you, and being known by others. It's a life of relevance, a life of purpose. We find relevance when we see our connectedness to the purposes of God for our lives and for the world. Abundant life is seeing our life's work, whatever it might be, as a ministry. It's outwardly focused, always concerned with how much we give rather than how much we get. We follow the Good Shepherd who loves us enough to die for us, who promises us an abundant life, a life with the one who knows us and loves us, who gives our lives purpose and meaning as we serve him and serve others. Let Jesus, the Good Shepherd, lead you to real and abundant life. Amen. Stand and sing together the hymn, He Leadeth Me. shepherd. Follow the good shepherd to those green pastures, those peaceful pastures, those still waters that he promises. Go with that peace and go in Christ. Amen.